You're listening to Radio Influence.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
another Wednesday hump day, Val, and
Beans. It's Beans. Here, Beans. Happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans out there.
Yes, happy Veterans Day.
And it's been a crazy day, another crazy day yesterday. I did a lot on the lawsuit in Pennsylvania filed by the Trump campaign, and just now finished reading the lawsuit filed in Michigan by the Trump campaign.
And how strong do they look?
They're strong.
I'll tell you, Tracy, the stuff I'm reading, the things that's being compiled, not only hard evidence, not only the testimonies, the signed affidavits, the people coming forward, whistleblowers who are actual names and faces and things to lose, a lot on the line here. There is just always that nagging thing in the back of my head that does not make me comfortable that this is going to eventually, ultimately, have to be settled by a judge. I just don't like the judges in this country.
Well, I don't know what else we can say, because that's the only way to do it.
I know. That's why it's just, you think you got something airtight, and then in comes the priests and the priestesses in the black robes.
Well, let's go through in the Michigan lawsuit some of the allegations here that are signed to by more than 100 sworn affidavits. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do
this. 100 people. If you have an eyewitness to a murder, one eyewitness, what happens?
That's pretty much the whole case.
There you go.
So
I'm just saying, for all these people, like, there's no proof.
But let me ask you something. What? Okay, so let's say we have 100 people in one particular state or whatever the hell it is that attest to illegal practices. How much do you? What is then the remedy? So for 100 people to say, we saw this and this, we saw these people blocking this, we saw, there's printed pretty much flyers and mailers and brochures, pretty much manuals for poll watchers, Democrat poll watchers and workers there to distract GOP workers and to create an environment of chaos where anything could really be done under that cover. How do you estimate what percentage of the vote needs to be either eliminated or audited or contested? Like, what is the target here as far as the percentage of the vote that would be affected by all of these people and what they're attesting to?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is the fact that there's no way to know what percentage of the vote or how many votes, because they weren't able to look at them. Which is what the lawsuit is saying. These votes need to be thrown out, but we don't know how many there are because we couldn't look. Let's see. What's the remedy here? There's the counts. What's the remedy? It looks like they're looking for prison time.
Well, that'd be great.
And they're looking for an order prohibiting Wayne County to use fraudulent or unlawfully cast ballots tabulated using Dominion without the accuracy of individual tabulators being determined. Any ballots that were received after election day where the postmark or date of receipt was altered to be an earlier date, and any ballots that were verified or counted when challengers were excluded from the room or denied a meaningful opportunity to observe. So they can't count those votes. They want them nullified, which they should be. You want to go through some of what they're saying they saw?
I would love to hear this, yeah.
Lord. The highlighting in this one. The whole thing is basically what they saw. Okay. It's going to be a few minutes, but let's do it.
Go for it.
Many individuals designated as challengers to observe the conduct of the election were denied a meaningful opportunity to observe. For example, challengers designated by the Republican Party or Republican candidates were denied access to the TCF Center ballot counting location in Detroit, while Democratic challengers were allowed access. And there are almost 20 affidavits to that effect. They also add that unlimited members of the media were allowed inside, regardless of COVID restrictions, while Republican challengers were excluded.
Well, the media is COVID, so.
Yes. Many challengers stated that Republican challengers who had been admitted to the center but who left were not allowed to return. Furthermore, Republican challengers who left the center were not allowed to be replaced by other Republican challengers, while Democratic challengers were replaced. There's about 20 people that are swearing to that as well. Democratic challengers outnumbered Republican challengers by at least 2-1. Many challengers testified that election officials strictly and exactingly enforced a 6-foot distancing rule for Republican challengers, but not for Democratic challengers.
They got the six inch rule.
Yes. Republican challengers were not allowed to meaningfully observe the ballot counting process. Many challengers testified that their ability to view the handling, processing, and counting of ballots was physically and intentionally blocked by election officials. Again, there are dozens of page numbers to the affidavits next to these assertions. So there's an exhibit attached to this with all of it. At least three challengers said they were physically pushed away from counting tables by election officials to a distance that was too far to observe the counting. One of them filed a police complaint about it.
Yeah, they don't want you near them. They want you, like I always say, they want you very still, silent, and very respectful while they molest you.
Mm-hmm. Don't scream.
Don't scream. I have to do this.
Yeah. Challenger Pauline Monty stated that she was prevented from viewing the computer monitor because election workers kept pushing it further away and made her stand back from the table. When she told an election worker she couldn't see it because they pushed it farther away, the election worker responded, "Too bad." Many challengers witnessed Wayne County election.
That election worker right there, the too bad woman. Because you know that's a woman. Mm-hmm. She's the person that is in your notifications on Twitter going, "Cry, MAGA tears."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the person who's tweeting at you at night.
Yes. Yes. Many challengers witnessed, and so did we. We saw the video. The Wayne County election officials covering the windows of the center ballot counting center so observers couldn't observe it. They testified they were intimidated, threatened, and harassed by election officials. There were a bunch that were threatened repeatedly and removed. One of them felt hurt. They said the intimidation made her feel too afraid to even make a challenge at all. Artisha Bulmer was called a racist name by an election worker and harassed by other election workers. Zachary Vaupel reported that an election supervisor called him an obscene name and told him not to ask questions about ballot processing and counting. Kim Taco was personally intimidated and insulted by election workers. Kian Smith was the target of racist comments and asked, "What gives you the right to be here since you're not American?" Other challengers were...
These are not election workers. These are Democrats. This is the behavior of Democrats, mm-hmm. by the way.
Other challengers were threatened with removal from the counting area if they continued to ask questions about the ballot counting process. Challenger Kathleen Davitella observed that Democratic challengers distributed a packet of information among themselves entitled "Tactics to Distract GOP Challengers." An election official told challenger Ulrich Scherer that the election authority had a police SWAT team waiting outside if Republican challengers argued too much. An election worker told challenger Jasmine Early that since English was not her first language, she should not be taking part in the process. I just can't. Election
Imagine
officials.
That.
I know.
Wow. That's very inclusive, these people. They're very inclusive.
Ridiculously inclusive.
I wonder the entire time when they told people you have to get out of here, they clapped their hands the whole time.
Oh, yeah. That's in here, too, by the way.
You need to go home.
You need to leave.
Oh, God. Like overgrown children, baby Hueys all over the place.
Election officials at the TCF Center in Detroit participated in the intimidation experienced by Republican challengers when election officials would applaud, cheer, and yell whenever a Republican challenger was ejected from the counting area.
It's like getting kicked out of Yankee Stadium or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Many challengers testified that their challenges to ballots were ignored and disregarded. An example of challenges being disregarded and ignored, challenger Alexandra Seeley stated that at least 10 challenges she made were not recorded. Artisha Bulmer observed that ballots with votes for Trump were separated from other ballots. She also stated, quote, I witnessed election workers open ballots with Donald Trump votes and respond by rolling their eyes and showing it to other poll workers. I believe some of these ballots were not properly counted. Braden Jacobazzi challenged 35 ballots for whom the voter records didn't exist in the poll book, but his challenge was ignored and disregarded. When Christopher Shornack attempted to challenge the counting of ballots, an election official told him, quote, we're not talking to you. You cannot challenge this. When Stephanie Krause attempted to challenge ballots, an election worker told her that challenges were no longer being accepted because the rules no longer applied, in quotes.
Oh, isn't that the truest thing that could have been said? Rules no longer apply, especially the big rule, the Constitution they always talk about now, these freaks.
Lord, it gets so much. They're saying, I'm not even a quarter of the way done yet. Just wait. But Wayne County prevented many challengers from observing the ballot duplicating process. So many affidavits attached to this one. Challenger John Miller said he was not allowed to observe election workers duplicating a ballot because the duplication process was personal, like voting. What? Challenger Mary Schinkel stated she was told by an election worker she was not allowed to observe a ballot duplication because, quote, if we make a mistake, then you will be all over us.
Shouldn't we all be all over it together? Is that not the point?
Many challengers testified that ballot duplication was performed only by Democratic election workers, not by partisan teams. Ineligible ballots were counted sometimes multiple times. Here we go. Challengers reported that batches of ballots were repeatedly run through the vote tabulation machines. Challenger Patricia Rose stated she observed a stack of about 50 ballots being fed multiple times into a ballot scanner counting machine. Challenger Artisha Bulmer stated, I observed a station where election workers were working on scanned ballots that had issues that needed to be manually corrected. I believe some of these workers were changing votes that had been cast for Donald Trump and other Republican candidates. She further stated that she witnessed the same group of ballots being rescanned into the counting machine at least 5 times. What could go wrong, Frank?
Everything?
What could go wrong?
Literally everything.
Many challengers stated that the ballot number on the ballot didn't match the number on the ballot envelope, but when they raised a challenge, those challenges were disregarded and ignored by election officials, not recorded, and the ballots were processed and counted. There's 20 or 30 affidavit numbers next to this, so this is not just one person. For example, when challenger Abby Helminen raised a challenge that the name on the ballot envelope didn't match the name on the voter list, she was told by an election official to get away.
And she was beaten, and then she was slapped and beaten and kicked.
And that the counting table she was observing had a different process than other tables.
This is not. We have our own little. This table is our own little country. We do. We have our own rules.
This isn't funny. I don't know what to do other than like giggle at this.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, what are we going to do? If we don't giggle, is it going to make it any better?
I mean, I'm horrified. I'm not even done. You want to keep hearing?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Of course.
Many challengers report. This is one lawsuit. Many challengers reported that when a voter was not in the poll book, the election officials would enter a new record for that voter with a birth date of January 1st, 1900. Lots of witness affidavits next to this one, too. Braden Jacobazzi, great last name. It's Jacobazzi. Nice Italian name. Reported that a stack of 35 ballots was counted, even though there was no voter record for any of them. At least 2 challengers observed ballots being counted where there was no signature or postmark on the ballot envelope. Challenger Ann Vanker observed that 60% or more of the ballot envelopes in a batch bore the same signature on the opened outer envelope. This is one person who got 60 or 70 ballots and signed the outside of all of them as though. Challenger William Henderson observed that a counting table of election workers lost 8 ballot envelopes. At least two challengers observed spoiled ballots being counted. Another challenger observed overvotes on ballots being corrected so the ballots could be counted, not allowed. At least one challenger observed a box of provisional ballots being placed in a tabulation box at the center. At least one challenger observed poll workers adding marks to a ballot where there was no mark for any candidate. Another challenger observed election officials making mistakes when duplicating ballots. So they're voting for people. An election challenger at the Detroit Department of Elections office observed passengers in cars dropping off more ballots than there were people in the car. This challenger also observed election workers at the Detroit Department of Election office handing T-shirts and food to voters in cars. This challenger also observed an election worker accepting a ballot after 8 p.m. on election day. One Michigan voter stated that her deceased son has been recorded as voting twice since he passed away, most recently in this election.
That would get me. That is unconscionable right there.
Yeah.
That's unconscionable to rape and abuse
dead people,
a deceased person's consent, because you want to be able, you want to steal from everybody, let alone steal from a country pretty much, you know, because what are you saying? You're taking people's consent so you can control monetary policy. This is I mean, it's theft all around. This needs to be punished so severely, but we'll see.
Jessica Connern. Hold on. I need to close Telegram. Hold on a second. It's giving me alertness. Jessica Connern. Hold on. Where are you? Hold on. I'm pausing it. Jessica Connern is an attorney who was acting as a Republican challenger at the center in Wayne County. Jessica Connern's affidavit describes how an election poll worker told Jessica that the poll worker was being told to change the date on ballots to reflect that the ballots were received at an earlier date. She was also provided a photograph of a note handed to her by the poll worker in which the poll worker indicated that she was instructed to change the date ballots were received. Jessica Cornern's affidavit demonstrates that poll workers in Wayne County were predating absentee voter ballots so that absentee voter ballots received after 8 p.m. on election day could be counted. And there's more. There's a lot more.
So that this, and of course, here's now the thing that really sucks. The most frustrating part about all this is here we are once again, the group of people who actually have something to show, have gifts. Yeah, there's a story to be told here, and there's all the pieces of the puzzle are necessary to actually make it come to life. In a court setting, not just on a television setting where you're trying to screw with people and get a country to think a certain way. And what do you do? If you put this on out there, they move the goalposts, the entirety of the media. You know, Tracy, the president has said many times in different ways that the media is either the enemy of the people, enemy of the nation. I would say it needs to be upgraded. They are the enemy of the free world. Because this is global now. The coverage of one small facet of this entire election, which is that now Joe Biden is the president-elect, who is not actually president-elect. He's a media projected winner right now. The fact that everybody's only talking about that, taking note of those who are not bending the knee to Joe Biden and are completely looking the other way of all of this stuff, saying it's all baseless and there's nothing there. The conspiracy is so naked at this point, and it is international. I can't imagine anybody is actually buying this, other than, of course, those who are never going to be saved in the first place, that they're gone. But that's the most frustrating thing. You know that this is never going to appease anybody except the judge. The judge is the only thing that matters here. But even then, I'm praying that we get one of them that has some kind of sense.
Like a set of cojones?
Oh, yes.
So we get into the electronic voting now, Frank. Wayne County used the same Dominion voting system tabulators. There's more before this, obviously. I just skipped this. As did Antrim County, and Wayne County tested only a single one of its machines before the election. The Trump campaign asked Wayne County to have an observer physically present to witness the process. Wayne County denied the Trump campaign the opportunity to be physically present. Representatives of the Trump campaign did have opportunity to watch a small portion of the test of a single machine by Zoom video. I'm sure that was great. Tabulator issues occurred elsewhere in Michigan. In Oakland County, Democrat Melanie Hartman was wrongly declared the winner of the commissioner's race by 104 vote margin. A computer issue at the Rochester Hills clerk's office caused them to double count some votes. After election officials caught the error, Republican Adam Kochendurfer was declared the winner with 1,127 more votes than Hartman. Hold on. Here we go. They basically say that they can't certify this election. They need to have a recount or an audit of all of the machine tabulated votes, that all of these allegations of fraud need to be addressed by having an audit and recount of all of the votes by physical inspection by both parties, and or having them all tossed out, every vote ballot cast by mail. An order directing the Wayne County Board of Canvassers to summon and open the ballot boxes and other election material as provided by the law, and in the presence of other challengers who can meaningfully monitor the process, to review the poll lists, absentee voter ballot envelopes bearing the statement required by the MCL, and other material provided in it. An order directing that challengers be allowed to be physically present with a meaningful opportunity to observe when the accuracy of each piece of tabulating equipment is determined. And if it is not confirmed to be accurate, an order directing a special election to be held in the affected precincts. An order directing the Board of County Canvassers and the Board of State Canvassers, with challengers present and meaningfully able to observe, to obtain and review the video of unattended remote ballot drops. They were supposed to be monitored.
Tracy, how the hell do we, you know, I know that we're worried. You say, well, you know, Gore thought he was the president for 37 days and then blah, 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 blah. We're talking about multiple states. We're talking about from one border of the state to the other, localities. It's infested. Yeah. This is like taking a baseball bat and tapping the shingles of a house, and thousands upon thousands of silverfish come on out.
I hate
this. It's like, how does this even get resolved by the time the Electoral College has to certify the vote?
Well, look, they can't.
This seems like, go ahead.
It seems insurmountable. Like, the problems are so wide ranging, they're insurmountable.
And it's all in one direction.
Yes. Now, this is what you do. These courts, if it were a just society, would act right now, stop everything, have somebody assigned to go in with there is a way to audit this, Frank. It just needs to start, right? We still have time. It's not like we have to rush here. Well, we do have to rush, but it's not like we're running out of time. It's November 11th, 2020. We have a month. So everybody needs to get in there. And they need to, these ballots that were accepted with no signatures, no mail-in envelopes, just pushed through. Once the law is applied to those ballots, they will not stand through a recount and audit. They won't stand through it. They will be disqualified. If they pushed through ballots and they lost the envelopes for them and they were actually real ballots cast by real people, guess what's going to happen? Those ballots won't count. And then wherever the cheap chips may lay, Frank, they lay after that process is done. But it needs to be done. It needs to be done. You've got dozens of eyewitnesses to this stuff. This is not, again, just, you know, one random person who's like, we're going to talk in a second about the postal worker debacle, because that's something in and of itself.
Oh, and that's why I woke up this morning and I see pinned to the top of the trending section on Twitter, the postal worker recanted it did not. He doubled down last night.
Yes, he did.
But it sits up there. New York Times and Washington Post. The postal worker testimony whistleblower recanted his thing last night that he was told by his superiors. I said, wait a second. Am I going nuts? And that's the whole point here. people like me, when I see stuff like that, I still have to give myself pause and go back and check the date of what is published in the Washington Post and the date of the last time I heard from the whistleblower and Project Veritas and see who is lying. The average person is just going to see the New York Times or the Washington Post, and they go online at Dunkin' Donuts and they talk with their other dim-witted friends, and they have nothing to talk about except what the media gave them.
Look, I did an interview this morning in Idaho, in Boise, Idaho, and the hosts asked me, hey, you know, this postal worker who recanted his story about what went on in Erie, you know, is that a big blow to what's going on? And I'm like, guys, he didn't recant his story. It looks like what happened here. Let's tell it from the beginning in case there are some folks who don't know what's going on here. So an Erie postal worker went on the record and signed a sworn affidavit the other day that said that he was observing his supervisor instructing people to backdate, back postmark ballots. He heard them telling the workers, you know, if ballots come out after Election Day, we want to postmark them before so that they're valid. He came, went on the record, showed his face. They followed him around while he was on his route. All of a sudden, of course, they start getting threats about him. And then he's interviewed by the office there. And then the IG comes in for the postal office, right? So the inspector general comes in to do an investigation into this alleged malfeasance, you know? And then all of a sudden last night, the Washington Post comes out with a story that says that he recanted his allegations. He had no response for why he lied on an affidavit. And it, you know, there's no word on what's going to happen to the guy. Then we get this.
I'm kind of, they were grilling the hell out of me.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm kind of pissed. I feel like I just got played.
And I heard him say to the supervisor that they messed up yesterday. I was like, oh, what did they mess up on? And he told the supervisor that they had postmarked one of the ballots for the 4th instead of the 3rd, because they were supposed to put them for the 3rd.
Erie PA post office worker whistleblower lied to during interrogation by the feds. And here, wait.
And so let me.
This is the USPS Office of the IG. This guy's name is Russell Strasser.
Let me make good on that promise right away. Okay. This storm is getting crazy, right? And it's just out of a lot of people's control. And so the reason they called me in is to try to harness that storm. Try to reel it back in before it gets really crazy.
So in other words, you're the PR arm of the post office, or are you an inspector general? Anyway, here we go.
I can tell you, I think I told you off air. I have two friends who have stumbled upon blatant identity theft related to this election in Pennsylvania. One of them has been harassed by local law enforcement doing the same exact thing, pretty much. Instead of taking the concerns, they're starting to apply motive that they're trying to cause a political stink. So it's not even just that people within these agencies and these organizations and like the post office are getting it from their superiors, but even law enforcement, local law enforcement, has been dispatched to be political wet blankets over anybody that wants to show what's going on, even on individual levels.
Insanity here.
Okay. Because we have senators involved. We have the Department of Justice involved. We have
all lawyer teams gotten a hold of me.
I am trying to twist you a little bit, because in that, believe it or not, your mind will kick in. We like to control our mind. And when we do that, we can convince ourselves of a memory. But when you're under a little bit of stress, which is what I'm doing to you purposely, your mind can be a little bit clearer.
And we're going to do a different exercise, too, to make your mind a little bit clearer.
Okay. Good to go.
So, but this is all on purpose.
Roger.
I am not scaring you, but I am scaring you here.
It seems like they were trying to make me distrust y'all. And at the same time, it kind of affected, but at the same time, I was like, nah, these guys have had my back since the get-go. So that's why I continued.
Do you think these federal agents have your back?
At this point, no.
Hell, do you think these federal agents are really interested in investigating fraud?
Honestly, I don't think they are.
And in fact, you heard Weisenberg tell a supervisor they were backdating the ballots to make it appear they've been collected on November 3rd. You still stand by that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't sound like he recanted shit.
Nope. Nope, but they will say whatever because it does not matter to them. It doesn't matter. They will say whatever.
Did you hear what that IG guy was, what he was saying to his, what kind of third world nonsense is that?
There's no way to even mask it. They can't. If they're going to commit to something as much as ridiculous as just pushing these numbers around, the vote totals for Joe Biden, if they're going to commit to saying that these are real, then there's no reason to even mince words anymore. Just go out there and tell people, listen, it's not a threat, but this is a threat.
Which is basically what he did.
Yeah, there's no reason to mince words. They have already completely crawled into bed with insanity, and that's it. If this is turned around, and if truth and goodness finally get a big, big win, a very big public undisputed win, even though there's always going to be people who dispute it. If this gets a really big win, there's so many people who have lost their lives, their jobs, their credibility forever, and they all deserve to. So at this point, there's no reason why they should hold themselves back from saying anything. Twist as many arms as you want. If this all goes to shit, you were part of the greatest swindle in American history and the worst and most sloppy swindle at that.
Jeez. Just jeez. I can't even believe this. It's so in your face, Frank. It's so in your face. And I did the Pennsylvania lawsuit the other day, too. I did a whole big video on that yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That one's no better. That one's no... I mean, they literally... The Secretary of State in Pennsylvania directed her Board of Elections offices to break the law the day before the election in an email. Don't pay attention or disqualify any ballots that you receive because of signature problems. That's what she told them to do. And that's the only thing protecting those ballots was the signature. Otherwise, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. It just cannot continue this way. It is complete lawlessness. Lawlessness, and they don't care. They're doing it wide in the open. Just this morning, the Board of Elections in Erie County took a vote amongst themselves whether or not they were going to count ballots they received after Election Day. And guess who won? They took a vote amongst themselves.
Yeah. And they will. And they're going to. Yeah, because every vote needs to be counted. Every last one. If it's not this, it's something else that we were screaming about, that there's lawlessness in the country. That's the culture. There is no culture except that. That's why I say, if they are able to pull this off and Joe Biden gets into the White House and we are in bed with the Agenda 2030 crowd again and the Global Reset Davos crowd and Prince Charles and all them, I think that our collapse will probably, our ultimate, real collapse would probably be maybe about 5 years or so away. Now, the problem with us compared to what happened with the communist collapse of the Soviet Union out there in Russia is that ultimately after a while of gutting on through all of the downturn, Russia had still a pretty vibrant and ancient culture that was there to be built upon again. We have no culture. As you can see, we have a culture of lawlessness, of what can we do today? They will sacrifice their children and their grandchildren and the unborn to get whatever they can today. There's no culture here to build on.
How many of them do you think there really are in real America that don't care whether or not their election was honest?
I'm pretty sure. But the thing is that most people who do care, they are usually tending to their own lives. They're usually tending to, I have to get up in the morning. I have people to feed. I have bills to pay, all that stuff. What we are seeing here is that the United States government has been treated like a seminary for a certain ideological group of subversives. So even though the greatest thing that we always hang our hat on is what the election really told us in 2020, that there is an immense upswell of people from the ground level, that it was a landslide victory. The landslide is the only reason why this looks as cartoonishly bad as it is.
Yeah.
And that went across all demographics. It shattered all kinds of narratives. We still don't know. I think there was, as of yesterday, there was 24 House seats that were still having their votes counted, and Republicans were leading in 20 of those races. Kevin McCarthy said that the only thing separating the Republicans from actually taking control of the House is like 20,000 votes across the board.
Yeah, which may end up, through all these lawsuits that are going on, changing quite a bit of those House races.
So, I mean, think about that. That's the one thing we can always hang our hat on. We got exactly what we needed to know that we aren't nuts and that we aren't alone and that we aren't a shrinking minority and that it isn't a movement based on white supremacy. It is a coalition of all different types of Americans who know what America grants as opportunity for all, and they don't want that opportunity squandered for banana republic tyrants.
You know, another thing that's really bothering me that I'm not hearing a lot of people talk about, I don't know, let me know what you think about this. Somebody had to direct these folks on what they were going to do to successfully, or at least to steal it so that this narrative could be propagated, so that if and when it is flipped around, President Trump has to deal with the insurrection that these guys are going to be doing across the country. They're going to kick it up a notch if you've ever seen one. Trust me. So here's the deal. 450,000 ballots cast only for President Biden and for nobody else. Right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're poised to get control in the House of Representatives. We have kept the Senate with the North Carolina Declaration yesterday. Does it bother you at all that their main focus is president and not down ballot? To me, it does, because even in California, we flipped a bunch of seats where it doesn't seem as though they've paid very much attention to down ballot, but very strong attention to the top of the ticket.
What does that tell you?
It tells me that President Biden would rule by authoritarianism, and they don't care about what power the Congress and the House and the Senate have.
Well, they don't. Obviously, there's the executive orders.
Yep.
The executive orders. So much is under the executive branch that he would be able to just scribble away. He definitely wouldn't have a very strong House majority. He wouldn't have a Senate. Although, if it dwindles down to where Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins are actually given some kind of agency as major swing votes, there he may have the Senate.
Definitely would have the Senate if none of those people were worried about ever having to lose an election again, because they've now figured out that they will steal every single one of them. So if there's no consequences to these people acting outside of partisan lines because they don't have to worry about re-election, because the message is we'll just cheat for you, don't worry about it. That's a problem, Frank. But I don't want to be completely sad about things, because
I'm not, I'm not sad.
I'm not sad either. I'm excited. I think we're going to do this, guys. I really do. I really do. Now, could I be wrong? Sure. But I'm not. I'm just looking at this objectively and kind of looking at the pieces on the board. There's no judge is going to be able to look at some of these lawsuits and say there's not enough evidence. It's just crazy. Okay, so let's talk quickly about what happened with Attorney General Barr the other day, shall we?
Please.
November 9th, 2 days ago, he put out a memorandum for United States attorneys, the Assistant Attorneys General for the Criminal Division, Civil Rights Division, the National Security Division, and the swamp rat creature himself, Christopher Wray. Post-voting election irregularity inquiries. He goes through some of the general policies of the agency and of the Department of Justice, which are not to investigate claims of voter fraud until the elections are certified. But this is something really interesting in here. Given this, and given that voting in our current elections has now concluded, well, let me start earlier. The department's general policies with regard to election fraud and investigations are contained in the Justice Manual. Those policies require, among other things, consultation with the Public Integrity Section Election Crimes Branch. In some instances, those policies already allow preliminary inquiries, including witness interviews, to be conducted without ECB consultation. In instances in which they are consulted, the ECB's general practice has been to counsel that overt investigative steps ordinarily should not be taken until the election in question has been concluded, its results certified, and all recounts and election contests concluded, meaning at the very end, because they want to give the states the ability to rectify the stuff on their own. By the time that that happens, it's usually too late, but that's the policy. Such a passive and delayed enforcement approach can result in situations in which election misconduct cannot realistically be rectified, as per Barr. Moreover, this ECB practice has never been a hard and fast rule, and case-specific determinations and judgments must be made. While most allegations of purported election misconduct are of such a scale that they would not impact the outcome of an election, and thus investigation can appropriately be deferred, that's not always the case. Furthermore, any concerns that overt actions taken by the department could inadvertently impact an election are greatly minimized, if they exist at all, once voting has concluded, even if election certification has not yet been completed, i.e. take your politics BS and get them out of here, right?
Yeah.
Here's where it's key, Frank. Given this, and given that voting in our current elections has now concluded, I authorize you to pursue substantial allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities prior to the certification of elections in your jurisdictions in certain cases, as I have already done in specific instances. Keep that sentence in your pocket for a second. Such inquiries and reviews may be conducted if there are clear and apparently credible allegations of irregularities that, if true, could potentially impact the outcome of a federal election in an individual state. Any investigation of claims of irregularities that, if true, would clearly not impact the outcome of a federal election in an individual state should normally be deferred until after the election certification process is completed. I.e., I've already told you guys to look into these states following that logic. If there are any more, you can look into those too, but only if it is so severe that it will flip a state.
Yeah.
And it's already being done. So there's already enough credible evidence at the DOJ for Barr to have instructed U.S. attorneys to start looking into some of these cases. Which ones? Your guess is as good as mine, but I think that there's one in Michigan and one in Nevada right now.
Well, Georgia needs,
Georgia's going to a recount. Doug Collins is down there. They're all calling for an audit, not just a recount.
What about this? What about the Dominion machines?
Well, the Dominion machines are addressed in the Michigan lawsuit that was filed last night. The Dominion machines in Georgia are also an issue that are being talked about right now. So these Dominion machines, that there's evidence coming out that they were connected to the internet, that they were not tested. There were pending lawsuits ongoing when the election started about those machines. As a matter of fact, Shipwrecked Crew shared an affidavit from someone who was in the process of testing out these machines. And this is what's happened. It's an effing mess. It's a mess. But it just so happens to be a mess, Frank, in only the states that they literally stole. Now, let's see.
Oh, yeah. The control, you know, where the hell is this? Let me see. Hold on a second. It was a video last night that I had referenced on my show. And it was by a guy, it's a channel named Florida McKee, I think. M-A-Q-U-I-S. I don't know if that's how you say it. Either way, went through math. Another one of these really great mathematical breakdowns of these states, especially the swing states here that were so strongly going in the direction of Donald Trump, and was really the basis of what was going to be a gigantic landslide victory. And this guy on YouTube, he took a couple of control states of California and New York. And what he did was he plotted out the expanding or shrinking of their populations from about 2004 until 2020, just really on election years. And then also the vote output, just to be able to show what normal fluctuations in voter turnout was like in these states that were reliably blue, that would not need any kind of shenanigans in there. And then compare that to states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, which were so obscene with the overzealous voting distortions, that you can just tell just by laws of probability this stuff is going on here. Whereas in like California and New York, you see these little fluctuations of, you know, 1 to 3% of voter turnout from year to year. Whereas in Michigan, you're seeing 9%. You're seeing 900,000 more people vote in 2020 than they did in 2016, and their population from 2004 to 2020 has remained stagnant at 10 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in Pennsylvania, you have Pennsylvania lost 100,000 people from 2004 to 2020. They had 12.8 million people in 2004 in the state, 12.7 million people, and yet they're up over 6% with voter turnout, 800,000 votes.
Yeah, see? So
I mean, and this is just, and I love how he broke this down. He went to Nevada, he went to Wisconsin, and he put it all held up against these control states that, you know, there wouldn't need to be some kind of a concerted effort to really tabulate in a certain way. You know, yeah, that culture is going to take it over. Yeah.
Yeah. You have no doubt about that. And so, yeah.
So, I mean, now from there, obviously, that is just to show the statistical anomalies there, to really just say, OK, there's smoke here. There's a fire raging somewhere. Now, how many facets can we put together to better develop the picture of where that fire is? But this is not normal. This right here is not proof. And you can't actually go and say, hey, this is who did it and this is what happened. This is should be the impetus for everybody out there, Republican, Democrat alike, who want to be able to pass on a country to another generation and have some kind of confidence that what is going to be the result of every passing election cycle is going to be the will of people, whether those people are low IQ voters, high IQ voters, or whatever. As long as it's the will of people, then fine. But this is not what's going on here. Nobody is curious about something that is the obvious end of a major era in American society, at least civic society here. There needs to be a new imagination of the way that we do voting in this country going forward. If Joe Biden is actually able to complete this swindle all with the help of the media and the establishment hacks in both parties that are now, you know, showing their faces a little bit more and wanting to make the that final push to get the intruder out of the White House. Mm-hmm. If he is able to complete this swindle, we're never going to get the reform that's necessary. I don't know what the hell is the fix is going to be, but there needs to be some sort of irreversible block for anybody to get on in here and be able to tabulate and to screw up the tabulation process like this.
I did a map, Frank, of with the states that are in question right now, what the electoral vote is, because these states have not been called. Well, they have not been called correctly anyway. Biden has 226 electoral votes and Trump has 232 with 80 up in the air. The 80 exist in Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia.
What do you know? What do you know?
Georgia with 16. Pennsylvania with 20, Michigan and Wisconsin, 16 and 10, respectively. Nevada has 6 and Arizona has 11. So let's just see. We did this the other day. Let's say Michigan turns around, PA turns around. He needs either Nevada, Arizona, or Georgia because he's at 268. So either it's Georgia in the recount or Nevada in the recount, whatever the case may be. Let's say Joe gets... Yeah, I mean, he really only needs two of those states right now as it stands because PA was picked up. I mean, North Carolina was picked up. I think they got wind of what was going on everywhere else. And they said, we're not doing this, guys. Sorry, but not sorry.
So what? And I know that Arizona was down to just a couple of thousand votes now.
Mm-hmm.
They finally gave North Carolina to Donald Trump. So
Arizona is still okay. Dick Morris on Newsmax. This is kind of a domino effect. The first state to be reversed will be Georgia because they're really coming up strong. That'll create a strong momentum for a recount in Arizona and Wisconsin. If we win those three states, we're home free.
So what happened? Did you see other things there too? Like with it, what was going on in the state elections in New Hampshire?
No.
Did you see? I mean, they not only did they reelect their Republican governor by like a 65% margin, but their entire state government and their House and their Senate. I forgot their state assembly. I don't know what it is, but they have a bicameral system out there, too, like most states. Everything went red. Like that's what's going on even in New England. I mean, Donald Trump, if you take away the tens of thousands of foot soldiers out there and the electronic aspect of all this stuff going on here, the glitches, the vote dumps, he probably won 40 states.
He probably did. Did you see this? Did you see this data that was done, this forensic investigation that was done of every change in the data because somebody was able to pull the live, I guess, the background data that goes through.
I saw that compiled on the Donald.
So it's floating around now. And I did dig into this a little bit. I'm honestly, guys, it's solid.
It is.
It's very solid. And
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. So the total effect of the Dominion. So this is not including fake ballots, dead people voting twice or 10 times, illegal voters, disqualified ballots. It doesn't include manual fake entries into the machines or scanning like we talked about. This is literally just the software. Ready? It affected 1.383 million votes in Pennsylvania, switched 220,863 votes, lost 941,248 votes. Virginia, New York, New Jersey, West Virginia, Georgia, Michigan, Illinois, Florida, Ohio, and Arizona, all of them, all of those states swing when this fraud is removed. I mean, Let's bring out my trusty little map I was just working on here. Where'd it go? Here it is. Okay. So let's say Pennsylvania would go red. Virginia would go red. New York would go red. That's insane. But I believe
New York, it says, because switched was 18,000. Lost votes was 623,213. That's what they said there.
Oh, so what does that mean then?
So they said there might be a little bit of overlap between switched votes and lost votes. Switched votes are votes
that went
went from Trump that were given to Biden.
Right.
Lost votes are votes that just disappeared altogether during the counting from both candidates.
Okay. So New York then.
I see that as, Tracy. You know how when the Federal Reserve prints more money?
Yep.
They print more money and they put it into because I'm talking about just basic wear and tear of the actual paper money. They burn a lot of money and they replace it by printing it. So that's what I see this as, where you need to be able to destroy some votes to be able to replace it with ones that you control, or else it becomes too obvious, even though it's already obvious as it is, that you've completely inflated the vote counts out there. Because after all, you have to overcome a Donald Trump landslide. It's not like Donald Trump stayed stagnant with his 2016 output. People came out en masse for him. That's always the big thing here that they're up against.
The turnout, which is something we preached from this show for weeks.
But Virginia lost votes, 789,000. Switched votes that they can confirm, 12,000. I mean, that's huge. Right?
Let's see. What is Michigan switch votes without everything else? 20,213 switched votes. 21,880. Now, do they find these in a count in a comparison of the paper ballots logs to the actual counting?
I don't know.
This basically says a forensics investigation of every change in the data reveals that 3,889,947 votes for Trump have been stolen. That means 4 million people out there lost their right to vote this election.
So 71 million should be something like 75 million.
Yeah.
And how much is the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden
right now?
Yeah.
Right now, this is so unbelievable of a number, I laugh. They say that as of today, with everything, Joe Biden has 77.3 million votes.
So he outpaced Donald Trump by 6 million votes.
Yes.
Well, the only reason why they could even give him that much is because, theoretically, as we're looking at here, there's a great chance that they destroyed 4 million of the votes that went to Donald Trump, which leaves only about 2 million in differential between the popular vote, which would be pretty much what Hillary Clinton had.
Yeah, but that's, again, this is only electronic.
Right, right, right.
This Absolutely. Is insanity.
Yeah.
Listen, we knew this, okay? I have been talking about this since Alex Jones in 2008 was doing the fractional shit. You know how Dr. What's his name?
Shiva?
Yeah. He's doing like the presentation about the fractional voting and all that. That's not new. That's been around for, gosh, a decade or more. We've known that. I'm so glad that it's coming back into the fore now. And people are absolutely stunned by it. They can't believe what they're seeing. And who was it that was doing this years ago? He had experts about this that have been screaming about this for decades. But, you know, the problem is that back then, Frank, and that's why I still am so encouraged, because back then when we used to talk about that, we used to be called names. You guys are out of your mind. Yeah, big conspiracy theorists. You're nuts. You tinfoil hat wearing losers. You know, go back in your parents' basement. I'll say the story again. I've been spit at by people for trying to awaken them to all the stuff that's been going on. Now you have people like, the amount of emails that I have in my inbox right now, I cannot even explain to you. You have to see this. You have to watch this. Please watch this. And I try to watch everything and I turn it on and I'm like, okay, I already knew that. Okay, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's freaking wonderful. It's wonderful. But now we got to do something about it.
Yep. Now you got to do something about it. I mean, I was talking to a few friends this morning, saying, you know, because I had the same thing. People who've been in the game as long as we have, will get in touch with me and say, you know, here's another aspect of this. And they talk about, you know, there's some of the testimonies on out there, the affidavits, the whistleblowers. I mean, there's even little tiny scandals that are being dug up. Did you hear about the maiden name scandal?
Maiden gate.
So pretty much, if you there's a good chance that many thousands of women, American women, who may or may not have voted in this presidential election, voted technically twice because somebody was voting under their maiden name as well.
I checked mine and it didn't happen, but yes. Okay.
But many people have – so outside of all these little tiny scandals – that everybody is pointing, and of course, because things are getting so heated, there may just be a lot that people are seeing, and they may be seeing ghosts.
Yeah,
but that's just because of how blatantly obvious the big scam is. Mm-hmm. I'm not doubting that there are little rabbit trails and rabbit holes that people are going down that are maybe a waste of time, but it doesn't take away from what we're all on the trail of here.
Right.
And the big thing is, oh shit. Now where was I going with that?
The little ones outside of the little ones, you had your friend call you and tell you, you know, it was about people being awoke to the stuff. Even people that have known it for a very long time.
Nah, never mind.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Well,
look, one of those rabbit holes was in Wisconsin, where a print screen was sent to the Gateway Pundit, and it showed a flip of votes in Wisconsin from President Trump to Joe Biden. And Gateway Pundit ran the story with the headline, something, something, vote flip, President Trump wins Wisconsin. And then throughout the entire article was, if confirmed... And I'm like, you guys cannot be doing that right now. Like, get it to the right people. Talk about the, you know, what was found. Don't clickbait people into thinking that Wisconsin has flipped to Trump only to then be like gaslit inside. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I guess that's the point I was trying to make is that, you know, get it to the right people. My whole thing there is, outside of all of the little and bigger scandals and storylines and plots that we are trying to develop here and figure out how big the plan really was, because it has to be a big plan to be able to beat a guy who did so well. And of course, you have the entirety of the media that is going along with it and trying to sell it and push it. I mean, they want to inaugurate Joe Biden next week and get this over with.
They're starting to talk like that. Like, why do we even need a transition? Just get him the hell out of there.
Yeah, get him in. Come on. Let's get Joe Biden in. Come on. Nobody, just pay attention, guys. Joe Biden's the president. Don't say anything else. Joe Biden's the president. They're just hurry before people realize.
Do you notice, too, that like, Mexico and Russia and what was the other big country that refuses to congratulate Joe Biden yet because they know better?
Oh, yeah, I know.
And then freaking Netanyahu, that little weasel.
And Boris Johnson. I'm telling you, UK and Israel. First of all, these are the two bigger players in the Epstein blackmail operations there. I really hope. I hope that Donald Trump gets a second term just so that the America made in America training wheels can be taken off of Israel once and for all.
You know,
all right?
After everything that President Trump did for that country during his administration, for him to turn around and do that. Now, remember, he's up under all these corruption allegations and all kinds of other stuff. And that's besides the point. He unfollowed him on Twitter. That should tell you everything you need to know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Donald Trump brags about the Golan Heights so much. You'd think it was in Queens.
I know.
And I'd say, you know what? To hell with everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
You know who your friends are. And even if you are good friends with everybody out there in Israel, I know a lot of Israelis love Donald Trump for what he did or how far he went out of his way to support their nation out there. But you want to know something? It's not America. Neither is Italy. Neither is Bulgaria. Stop with everybody.
I said, stop. I hope with everybody. That the second term is truly America first.
Well, you know, let me try to finally finish my statement from before. I hope that people have some kind of evidence that is so watertight that is not being talked about in public right now, because everything that we're talking, well, we have affidavits, we have whistleblowers. That is all. It's either ignored, or it's talked about to be baseless, or they just flat out lie about it and all that stuff. I hope that there is underneath, as a bedrock to all of the affidavits and all of the actual on the ground grassroots corruption that was going on at these polling stations and everything else. I hope as a bedrock underneath that is something that has been collected that is not being told to anybody, that is so watertight, so big, so enormous, so undeniable that's what's really getting rolled out in some kind of a legal in or a
disclosure of some kind.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so, because I'm telling you, if this is all there is, I don't like it. As overwhelming as the trove of evidence and people coming forward is, if this is all there is, I don't like it. Because seriously, even though we know this is all very legitimate.
No, I get it. I get it. One judge, one partisan judge can just shirk it all away.
And it's not only that. How many times over the last 4 years did the bureaucracy and Democrats go and dig up 2,500 former federal officials came, you know, have said this about Donald Trump? 200 former federal attorneys have said this about Donald Trump and William Barr. It's like they can dig up people too, and they can just smear this as the same exact kind of a thing. I mean, they would actually have to be, you know, they would be admitting that they are partisan smear campaign junkies, but at the same time, but. I still don't feel very good going into a situation where you're battling this out in court with nothing but this. Hopefully you have somebody that understands how bad this is, but there's gotta be something else that was collected. Like, ha, you walked right into my trap, you sons of bitches. There's gotta be something we don't know, or else I'm not comfortable.
I think that you and a lot of other Americans out there are saying the same thing. But we're done. We went over, way over, way over today. Friday will be our little drive to D.C. together, Frank. So we'll figure out the logistics of that off air. But you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Hump Day Gray Val and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com until Friday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.